Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week, I have a full team.
Way!
Colour.
You right, Nick?
Boom boom, let me hear you say well.
I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Boom boom, let me hear you say well.
Anthony Kendry.
Hello everyone.
Shane Lees.
Boom boom, let me hear you say weo.
And Richard Ho Hudson.
Good evening.
All right.
I'm excellent. To yourself.
Yeah, good.
I'm tired.
That's funny.
I'm just laughing to myself at this point.
Great start, as always.
I hope we're not going into the really funny story to start with.
Sorry, carry on.
No, I haven't had any funny stories. Alright, so bookmakers William Hill have revealed that 12 people placed a bet on Leicester to win the league when they were 5,000-1. A spokesman has said that they're going to pay out or lose about £2 million if Leicester win the league.
So... I was pleased when I won 50 quid the other week, mostly just because I could afford to like eat. Now that's kind of nice.
I think it'll be split just between them 12 people, but they were over they're going to lose over £2 million.
Damn. Go on, Leicester.
So Leicester are now favourites to win the title, but with most bookmakers after getting 5 points.
There's a guy who's got a decent, quite a big each way bet, I think. So he still wins.
He put £75 on when they're 1,500-1, so he's going to get out £140,000 if they win the league.
Imagine if you'd gone though for them for top and Leicester and Spurs second.
Imagine if you'd bet on Newcastle or Sunderland to go down. Oh, it's probably like evens.
So boring question, but do you think they can handle the pressure and actually win the league?
Yes. I think if they beat Arsenal, or at least get a result against Arsenal, I think they'll win the league. I can't see any reason why they won't, because after that, I've got a run of games that are all looking winnable, and then the final couple of games, they've got Chelsea and United. So if they can get a result against Arsenal this weekend, I can't see any reason why they won't win the league.
I've got a feeling they're going to beat Arsenal, and then they're going to balls up the easy games because they'll be too overconfident.
I have to say, I don't agree with that, Anthony, because and not in the way you'd think. People have been saying for so long now, oh, this is the game that will prove Leicester's title ambitions, this is the game that will prove it. And they just mostly keep breezing through them. But the point is, and this is why I think they can probably go on and win it, is it's not going to depend on one game. Let me put it this way. If Leicester lose 5 of their last 13 games, they still have to have their opposite teams, so Tottenham, Arsenal and Man City, win about 8 of theirs just to go and win it of their last 13 games. And this is the season when anyone can beat anyone. They've got to reach 86 points, which is the average amount a title winner has. And it's going to be a lot lower than that. So of the last 13 games, who can see Leicester losing and dropping points in more than 5 games? I can't. And I can't see the other teams going and doing more than 7 or 8 games on a winning run. I can't see that. It's just too open this year. So Leicester don't have to go out and do amazing. They just have to essentially do... They can do slightly worse than the teams around them and still come out on top, based on where they are. So I think that's the reason they are favourites.
I think the big thing for them as well, though, is they're playing with just so much confidence.
Mm. Yeah.
They're going into the games and they're not fearing anyone. And they're just playing as a team that is enjoying football.
If you wanted to see them coming under pressure, look at how they dismantled City at home. How many sides do that? They had no pressure on them then. They didn't even care. It was brilliant.
Well, that's just it. I mean, if you hit Ranieri's interviews, it's just everyone is simply enjoying it. There's no other explanation, really. It's not down to, well, certainly not down to money or anything like that. It is simply down to the players, the team spirits there. The coaching's obviously there, the fitness is obviously there, but it's just players playing with a smile on their face and really enjoying it. And I think it's just absolutely fantastic for the English game and just football as a whole, really. They're not picking up too many injuries as well, which I'm not trying to put that down to luck. But also another big thing is they won't have to worry about the Champions League or Europa League as a distraction or any cup for that matter, because they're out of the FA Cup and it's solely Premiership football they need to focus on.
For me, I don't see Leicester losing or dropping points in more than five games at the end of the season. It will be less than that. And I don't see any of the clubs around them going and winning 10, 11 of their last 13 games. I cannot look at Tottenham, Arsenal, or City and say they're only going to drop points in two games between now and the end of the season. I can't say that. And on that basis, yes, I think it has to be Leicester favourites at this point. 5 points clear, 13 games to go. You are the ones in front. Mm-hmm. You are the favourites. I'm not saying they're bound to win it, but they're the favourites by a distance at this point.
Yeah, I could see United going on a run like that, though. That's the thing. Just to make a serious point, after this Arsenal game, their next like group of games, they've got Norwich, West Brom, Watford, Newcastle, Palace, Southampton, Sunderland, West Ham and Swansea. You know, they're not playing any big teams until the end of the season after that. And
saying Southampton aren't a big team? Well, you know, I'm only expecting us to lose 4-0 in that game, Christ.
Southampton is the worst team they've got until the end of the season, is the point I'm making, and that's,
I'll take that. They're going to shit
on us. Thing is, they're playing teams that are playing for something, like teams that are going to scrap their lives to try and stay up. So I don't buy this Arsenal game's their last tough game and everything else is going to be given to them. I mean, they've still got really tough games there, and admittedly Arsenal always probably is the toughest one they're going to have, but there is still a lot of tough games and they still need to show in the way the stuff of champions by even grinding those wins out, which they have done again this season. They saw it at Tottenham when they won 1-0, and they need to do that again. If Mahrez had scored those two penalties though against Bournemouth and Villa, they would be 55-56. Yeah, they would be they'd be 9 points clear of Tottenham and Arsenal.
The thing that gets me with it though is that it just shows what a teamwork and confidence does to a team. Because, you know, Christmas last year, they were bottom of the table. They've not really changed much on the players. Mahrez was there in 2014. So it's the same team that were getting beaten by everyone in the league.
Oh yeah, as much as we think like the modern football game, you can't have like teams do like what Brian Clough did in terms of getting teams out of the division and really starting to challenge straight away. We think that can't happen anymore. But, I mean, you've seen it in World Cups, you've seen it in, the European Cup, you've seen it where small teams can go off and have a really great run of form. And in the end, sometimes all you really do need is a great manager and a team that is all pushing together. Sometimes that is all you genuinely need. So I don't buy the whole idea that it's all money ruining football and it's all that stuff, or you need a massive cash injection and Arab billionaires to buy you to actually, you know, seriously compete. Sometimes it just all falls in the right place for you. And I still believe that.
And I think it sort of shows up clubs like Liverpool that moan every year that, oh, they've not got the money to compete with Chelsea, City and United, when they clearly have got the money to compete with them.
They spend recklessly.
Well, these days, everyone has the money. It's just not everyone has the pull to go and get out the big players. So they have to spend the same sort of money on smaller players, and it's always a bigger risk. And you have teams like Stoke who do that quite well, for instance, at the moment. So I don't buy the money thing, especially in the modern football era where everyone has money. Especially when you get to the Premier League, everyone has cash to spend. Even the likes of Bournemouth have money to go and spend. Everyone's got money. So yeah, I think we've reached a point in the Premier League where there is now so much money at the top level that all the clubs are capable of, one, operating to a profit, which is a great thing in terms of stability, but two, in terms of genuinely in the transfer market competing with one another. And it's just a point now of getting to the place where clubs can keep hold of their players as well as buy other players from, say, you know, Europe. I think that's the point we need to get to now. And when you saw with John Stones and things like that, we're starting to get there in terms of players, clubs being able to keep hold of their players.
Well, then you look at players like that. Was it Watford or Bournemouth that ended up getting the Wana Turbi?
Bournemouth
on loan.
Yeah, that's a player that a couple of years ago was being thought of as being Messi's successor in the Argentina team. He's Bournemouth.
Yeah, but one thing I was going to say at Leicester is I just remember when in 5 years' time when people ask, so, Dad, how did Leicester win the league? We're going to start with, well, son, it all started when Nigel Pearson's son had sex at a sex tape.
And someone else chatted shit and got banged. It's not going to be a vintage story, is it?
They were playing all good football last year, but can I just remind everyone that asked I mean, I was throwing my hands up. I was, you know, when we did our predictions at the start of the season, and we really need to dig this podcast out, I think. I was the one who said with a passion that Ranieri would be the first manager sacked.
I said they were going down.
Yeah, I said they were the definite relegation when we did our predictions for the start of the season. I think there was quite a few of us. I think only one or two said, no, they'll be fine.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, only 12 people bet on this to happen. We know this now. No one was saying this was going to happen.
No, I'm just saying
that. If anyone thought at the beginning of the season that Leicester were going to win the Premier League,
they should go on
the lottery this weekend.
No, I mean, well, I thought Leicester.
Some people have, effectively. That's hence the 5,000-1 odds.
Some people are very loyal to their club.
Generally,
Anthony.
Though, just passionate about Leicester. It's not a firm belief in it.
I mean, I'm shocked enough that if they're even challenging for Europa League, it's just the fact that I said at the start of the season they'd be doomed.
Yeah. Other reports today say that Danny Drinkwater isn't live for an England call-up for the matches against Holland and Germany. Do you think that's...
Yeah, well-deserved. Well-deserved. He's had a fantastic... And he was class in that Liverpool game, I thought he was an unsung hero that night. And, again, I think him and Kante have been absolutely superb in the middle of the pitch this season. Obviously, I know Cambiasso was a big loss to them last season. And Kante, Drinkwater, and who's the other...
Oh, but...
Who's that? No, the other side. Well, it's 4-4 again. 4-4-2. Why don't more clubs play it? I mean, I've been crying out for it for Bryant for years, and we're playing it this year, and we're actually playing well. But Leicester have played it for a while. 4-4-2, all Brighton one wing, Dyer or Damari Gray one wing, or Mahrez and all Brighton on the wings.
Yeah. And then because for the last few years since sort of Barcelona took over with the possession football that everybody's wanted a possession game.
4-2 is quality. Like you got to say, you got two quick ones. There's Mahrez and Albrighton. Albrighton was getting released by Villa not so long ago. Drinkwater and Kante midfield, and then up front, strength and pace. Like you either got Ozaki or Ojoa with the Vardy party. So
big man and a small man, it always works.
Always works.
Stick Heskey and Owen up front, you will get
the
results.
Danny Simpson also be considered for England.
The thing is, I'd say
he was really good a few years ago, wasn't he? Who was he at Newcastle?
I would say Danny Simpson maybe not on the virtue that we have actually got a few good right backs. Albrighton definitely, because we have a dearth of good actual attacking out and out wingers. We've got some of those inside forwards, but we haven't got any out and out wingers. So yeah, and Drinkwater for me, Drinkwater's the kind of player. If he played for Everton, he'd have had a dozen call ups by now. He plays for Leicester. He's got a name like Danny Drinkwater. He isn't going to look good in an England suit, and you know he's not going to sell a lot of shirts. So you know the twats in the England camp tend to think that's what matters. It doesn't. He's a solid player. He's the kind of central midfield player we've been missing for a while, which is just an engine in the middle of midfield who can pass and defend. Why not? We haven't got that many good central midfield players.
And yeah, people say, I literally can't think of people who are going to go. I mean, you've got Wilshere, but he's injury prone. Henderson, I don't think, had a good enough season to justify him starting at Euros. I think centre midfield is really up for grabs this summer.
Jonjo Shelvey made his debut, for God's sake.
Christ. To be fair, he didn't play too bad for him. I think the only
wasn't. I'm being harsh there. He wasn't. But then when you think you've got players like... I mean, you've got Michael Carrick. There's not many options at centre mid for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Eric Dier would be a good shout for me. And Dele Alli.
Yeah, I think Dele Alli is the only dead certain starter.
Barkley as well.
Barkley might be... I think Dele Alli is the only dead certain centre mid that's going to start. I think everything else...
I'd play a 4-3-3. I'd play 4-3-3. I'd have Barkley and Alli in box-to-box roles. Not sure who at the defensive mid. I would have said Carrick, to be honest.
I'd probably say Carrick as well. Carrick and either Drinkwater or Dier.
Yeah. I'd have Carrick and Alli as the centre midfield pairing with Barkley in front of them.
Either way, I would definitely take Drinkwater and Albrighton, because they're two players we don't really have any other versions of.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't have... Albrighton's an out and out winger. Run down the wing, put the ball in the box. Hopefully someone puts their head on it and gets a goal. Simple as that, but we have so few players who actually do that anymore. Might as well take him.
Alright, so we'll go
up front. We're sorted.
Vardy, Rooney, Kane, and it'd probably be Sturridge as well, I guess.
Alright, we'll go up at round one of some of the pitch.
Isn't Sturridge dead?
Kane won against West Ham.
So we're going to go triple threat this week. So it's going to be there's three answers to each question.
And if you don't win, you're fired.
Alright, so first round's going to be Anthony, Nick and Richard. So,
okay.
Anthony, you got a choice of questions. So do you want...
Richard, can I quickly ask you a question?
Of course you can.
Have you ever been called Dick, like Dick, before? Because Dick's short for Richard, isn't it?
Where did that come from?
Just because the way he said Richard, and it just made me think we got someone at work who we call Dicky just for a laugh.
Straight out of nowhere.
No, I haven't. I prefer not to be.
I once got in trouble for calling my uncle Richard a dick.
Well, it's true though. His name, he can be called Dick.
Yeah, but my dad didn't appreciate that.
All right, so,
have you ever been called Cockwomble?
You could have at least gone for prick. At least it rhymes.
Right. Maybe we should edit this out of the show.
Anthony, do you want?
Yeah, sorry, Chris.
91-92 or Scotsman?
Scotsman, because I don't fancy answering questions about 1991-1992.
Okay, so we're going to go Anthony, Nick, Richard. So, which three Scotsmen have scored the most Premier League goals?
Ooh,
damn, that's a hard one.
It's an obvious one. Wow. I think now, is there any? James McFadden.
No. Nick?
I want to say Steve Fletch, but has he really scored that much? Naismith, maybe. Scotland! No, I don't. Stephen Fletcher.
Yep, he's got 53.
Oh, cool.
Richard?
The only one I can think of is Big Dunk.
Yes, Big Dunk has got 68.
Duncan Ferguson.
Duncan Ferguson.
Alright, so next round is...
Was the other answer Naismith just out?
It's going to be Kevin Gallagher has 56.
Next
round is Nick, Richard and Shane. So Nick, do you want the 2014 World Cup or Nigerians?
2014 World Cup, please.
Okay, so name players contracted to Swansea City who appeared at the 2014 World Cup.
What?
That's a lovely question. I like ones like this. Is it my go first?
Yeah.
Ooh, even better. Right. Is it current contracted players?
No, they were contracted to Swansea at the time. I don't think any of them were there, though.
What, the season before the 2014 World Cup?
Well, 13-14 World Cup.
Yeah.
2014 season.
2013-14 season. Did anyone go to the England World Cup?
There's three answers.
Michel Vorm. Was he in this Holland squad?
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay, Richard.
Trying to remember if Poland weren't there, were they?
Bit of a tough one.
Montero?
No. Jay?
See, I'm really torn at the moment because you've said there's three and I'm thinking of four. So I'm thinking, did he maybe just not play? I'm going to go for a safe one. Ki Sung Yong.
No, he's not on my list.
He was South Korea. They were definitely there.
Maybe he didn't make the squad.
Made the squad.
He's like their best player. He scored.
Was he at Swansea at the time?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't at Barclays.
Oh, he was on loan at Sunderland. Go fuck yourself.
It was at Sunderland.
No.
Was Wilfred Bonnier a correct answer?
Wilfred Bonnier and...
Jonathan De Guzman was the other one. Why didn't I just save him? Fuck me.
Oh, De Guzman, that's a what...
Okay, so this time it's Richard, Shane, Anthony. So Richard,
I'm pissed off now. We're not counting loans. He was contracted to them. Just wasn't there.
Players of the year or Everton? Young player of the year or Everton?
Young player of the year.
Okay, so name Man United players who won the Young Player of the Year in the 1990s.
Is this Young Player of the Year for Man United or Young Player of the Year for England.
It's a PFA Young Player of the Year.
Well, there'd be more than three answers, wouldn't there, if it was...
I don't know.
All right, so it's going to be Richard, Shane and then Anthony.
I'll play safe and say Giggs has got to be one of them.
Yeah, 92, 93.
Right. I think I know all three, to be honest.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Oh, piss. I don't know Man United players.
You don't know young Man United players in the 90s?
There's a lot of them, okay? I thought Ki Sung Young was a sure thing. What do I know? Fucking hell.
Probably
this
the
is
most
really hard.
Famous group of young players to have ever emerged in football.
David Beckham.
David Beckham, 97, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Thank God. This isn't, yeah, shut up, Richard.
Stuck now. Who might have won it?
I honestly can't think of who the hell it could be.
I know.
All right, you're from Russia, Anthony. Come on.
Sorry.
He's not from Russia.
Oh my god, this is horrible. I'll have to guess at Paul Scholes.
No, it was Lee Sharp in 1991.
If it's any consolation,
Paul Scholes
I would've,
never
I'd have
anything
Scholes.
Individual based.
No, well,
I'd have gone for him.
Okay, so the next one is Shane, Anthony, then Nick. So you've got English managers or manager of the month?
Ooh, I'm a patriotic Englishman, so I'm going to go with English managers and God Save the Queen.
Okay, name English managers who have won the FA Cup since 1990.
Jesus Christ. Ooh, am I first?
Yep.
Well, shit.
So you won't get them all right this week.
Oh, yeah, no, you've fucking fisted me on that one then. When is this since?
1990.
Okay. that's pretty difficult. Harry Redknapp won it with Portsmouth, didn't he?
You twat.
In 98, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I remember that one because I hated that year.
Okay, Anthony.
This isn't good. I don't know.
We will not accept that as an answer.
I must say, don't know if you don't know. I'll meet you.
No, I'll say so. I'll say who's brand? Sir Bobby Robson.
No. All right, Nick.
Hello. Englishman, you say? Englishman, you say?
Yep.
Englishman, you say? Who won it in?
Oh, I know one now.
Dana, he's not English.
Di Matteo, he's not English.
Was as round here, he's going to win it.
Ferguson's Scottish.
Let's have the rush here, come on.
Hell, I just can't think.
Go. Come on.
I think you've broken him.
That was easy.
You don't know.
Have you tried turning him off and on?
Have you tried, Shane?
Pass.
Pass.
Was it Kevin Keegan?
No, you could have had Joe Royal with Everton in 95 and Terry Venable Tottenham in 91.
Terry Venable is what a guy.
I wouldn't have got either of them.
Oh, why 80 Venables?
Anthony has none.
Great Nick singer.
Warren has one, haven't they?
Richard has two. Shane has two.
How many have I got?
Two.
Yeah. Right. Well done, guys.
Am I in the final?
Yeah, there's a second round. All right, so following the Anfield walkouts at the weekend, Liverpool's owners have scrapped their controversial £77 ticket and apologised for any distress caused by the pricing announcement.
Oh, bloody scousers with the, like, oh...
So first of all, what did you think about the walkouts, was it?
Well, it obviously worked.
It didn't work for the team.
An estimated 12,000 people walked out on the 77th.
You do have to say good for them, but I think the only unfortunate thing is now that now that they actually technically won that fight, it's probably all going to sort of slowly go away again. And it's sort of like, congratulations, prices were not inexplicably jacked up, but well, they are still monstrously expensive for no apparent reason whatsoever.
They've gone £77 to £59.
Well, no, they've gone from £59 to £59. They haven't gone from £77.
That's weird.
They haven't. This is what I'm saying. It's one of those things everyone's going, oh, yeah, this is a good thing. Congratulations, things didn't get more extortionate. It's like, oh, I paid £1 million for bread today, but at least I don't have to pay £2 million tomorrow. Brilliant. I'm still getting fucked. It's like the shittest victory ever.
It's not good that ticket prices are rising, but, you know, at the end of the day, stadiums are getting filled. You know, supply and demand. If you don't want bread, don't buy bread.
There was no sense for them to be to rise in the first place, because Premier League clubs' revenue streams are only going up and up, and it's external revenue streams. I brought it up like 1,000 times in this show, but if Man United sold out Old Trafford every single week in the year, then they still would not cover a third of their own wage bill. The money from stadiums doesn't really make a dent in modern Premier League clubs.
I read somewhere that every Premier League club next season could give a ticket away for free and they're still all...
This is the point. But of course, you have to look at it from the business point of view. If they can sell the tickets, then of course they will. And logistically, you can't organise a mass boycott. It just won't work. You've seen it now. Even when one club tries to organise a boycott, they only get a couple of thousand fans at a time. Mm. It's not going to change until we all just stop going and paying these ridiculous prices. It's the sad state of things. These clubs are businesses now. They don't really give a shit about the fans. They're customers, not fans.
Did you see how Borussia Dortmund fans...
No, through tennis balls on the pitch. And that was because they're moaning because... was it about 50 quid the day we seat or something?
It was the Stuttgart's away tickets, wasn't it? That was too expensive, not their own ones.
But like a normal ticket was... I think 20 quid, and then there were some others that were 30 quid, and they were complaining about that.
But the problem is, if you're doing these protests at the games, here's the thing. You've turned up to the games and you've bought the ticket. And yeah. I'm sorry, somewhere like Germany, that might work. That might work where they do genuinely have a caring sense and responsibility for fans and the whole atmosphere and all that. Might work. Premier League, these clubs are all of them. Every single one of them. Southampton is the same, all being run as a business. So if they're paying the money, they don't give a shit. They don't care one way or the other.
So do you think, what about the best way to process would be not to turn up to a televised game? So when it's on telly, movies, it's got an empty stadium. And that'd be embarrassing to the clubs that way.
Well, the problem is, let's say you get the fans groups and you link every single fan group in the country, every single one, you get them to sit down and say, we aren't going to the games this week. For 1 week, we will not go to the games. Okay, so every member of the fan group won't go, but you're still going to have a lot of fans who do decide to go. And there's the possibility that the clubs might reduce the ticket prices just for that one game to incentivise it. Plus, you've got the foreign tourists coming to the games anyway. They're still going to fill up at least 75%. This is the point. Even if you could logistically get a mass boycott, which you can't, because we can't even get a boycott for one club, let alone all of them, you've still got everyone else who's going to turn up.
If you've got the football if you got the hooligans involved, they could hang about outside the stadium and beat up anyone who goes there.
Yeah, beat up the scabs. I've said this before on the show. The only way this changes is if one of two groups makes a difference. That's the chairman, either they consciously make an effort and say, this isn't right, we have to go and change this, or the footballers decide to start donating a certain percentage of their wages to subsidise ticket prices. It's the only two ways it's going to happen, because there's only one group who has the power to do it and one group who has the money to do it. But neither of them are going to do it, because the chairman are running it like a business and the footballers are detached from the modern football fan base. So they have real interest in doing it. Most footballers aren't going to know how much it costs to buy a ticket into a ground. They genuinely aren't. Most of them don't know how much a pint of milk costs.
I'm sorry, Shane, but I think there's... There's more worthy charitable exploits footballers can be doing than giving out tickets.
Well, yeah, you said, it's a purposely ridiculous prospect.
There's a lot of footballers who do their bit for charity, you know, do set up their own foundations and...
Oh, yeah, no, I don't disagree with that.
I give money to other charities. I think they're a lot more
positive. I've espoused that many times in this show, and I have no problem with the amount of money footballers earn, but the point is they would have to do it a certain percentage of their wage every single week for the entire season, with the prospect that their chairman and their clubs match that donation just to make an impact on those ticket prices. It's so ridiculous it wouldn't happen, because they're detached enough from the actual fan base that they don't really have the incentive to go and do it. Like I said, the point is it's an unsolvable problem, because you cannot logistically get the fans to solve it, and the only other groups who can solve it either have no interest in doing it or can't possibly do it themselves. It's an unsolvable problem.
Wayne Rooney, and United gets 77,000 at every game, no matter what. And so you say to him, well, you earn 300 grand a week. instead, can you earn 250 grand a week to help for the fans? And it's like, well, the 77,000 that are willing to turn up every single week anyway, you're still going to get 77,000 if I reduce my wage. Why should I?
And the further problem is, let's say we introduce a salary cap to all footballers in the UK, and we say you can't earn above this amount of money. Here's what will happen. And we have proof in the way football clubs are already run. They wouldn't turn around and go, well, we're paying the players less wages so we can lower the ticket prices. The people at the top will go, well, we're paying the players less wages, more profit for us. Because they're opening up all these new revenue streams, new sponsorships, new TV money, all this, and they're still trying to raise the ticket prices. They managed to keep it frozen for a few years now because, Jesus Christ, everyone hammers on about it every so often. But they're still trying to raise them. They're not trying to drop them. So you take the money away from footballers, you're just going to take the money away from the idiot footballers who don't know how to dodge taxes, give half their money away because they are idiot footballers and are generally decent people who've come up from nothing. You take it away from the people who are going to buy shit stuff and put money into the economy, give it to charity and pay all their taxes, and you're going to give it to the people who have accounts in the Cayman Islands. It's like I said, at this point, there is no solving it other than the ridiculous prospects. And it's so annoying because it's so impractical because they do not need this money at this point from the gate receipts. They can lower this money considerably and it doesn't impact on them. But it's being run like a business to maximum profit. And if people are already paying for those ticket prices, they will. So it's sort of
could you see the Premier League putting a cap on their wages when other leagues wouldn't?
Oh, no, absolutely not. So again, it's one of those like ridiculous prospects. You'd have to have players willingly give up a portion of their wage, as I said before,
to the purpose.
That's why players
are going over to China rather than going over to America. So America has a wage cap and China doesn't.
Well, America finds a lot of ways to get around its wage cap.
I was going to say, in America, though, it's like they have so many footballers, like they're star players who don't have a wage cap.
They have a certain amount of players they can do it with each year. And they haul
the other
that
thing
to the
I
maximum.
Just want to say about ticket prices is that tickets for young people are cheap. Children are cheap at most stadiums as well.
You got to get them while they're young.
They're not at United.
Yeah, but I'm just saying about children. Do we want going to the games? Like, do we want children and kids going, or do we want? I don't know. I'm just saying there are a lot of incentives at a lot of grounds. You know, like £5-10 tickets for children.
Okay, we'll finish it there. So, it's time for second rounds on the pitch. So same again.
Damn, I'm angry now. I'm still angry about Ki Sung Yong being loaned to fucking Sunderland.
So, at least he's got 2 points.
Yeah, something.
Anthony Beck Richard. So Anthony, do you want European Championship or which question have we done? Manager of the Month.
Manager of the Month, please.
Okay, so name the last three Italians to win the Premier League Manager of the Month. Anthony.
Ranieri.
Ranieri, yeah, he won on November 15th.
Yeah. Okay. Really?
Is this of all time?
Yeah, there's the last three Italians to win the Premier League.
Well, not just this season, right?
Yeah, of all time. But...
risky one, very risky one.
2011 is going back to.
So. Yeah, risky one then. Mancini?
Mancini, yeah, he won it in April 2011. No, October 2011.
Nice. What a good.
I've got someone in my mind. Do it, could then. I don't know.
Di Matteo?
No, it was.
I was going to say he was crap in the league, wasn't he?
It was Ancelotti of Chelsea in April 11th. Okay, so this.
I have a point.
You have a point, yeah. The pencil's broke. All right, so it's Nick Richard, Shane. So we're going to go. So you got Everton or Nigerians?
Everton or Nigeria?
Yeah.
Everton.
So, name seasons Everton have finished above Liverpool in the Premier League.
Oh, fuck me. Was it 2004, 2005 season or 2003, 2004? Shit, a brick, Mick.
That is...
God. Well, actually, no. Like, there was one not so long ago, was there? What year was it?
What?
No, please. The year before, Liverpool nearly won the league.
switch over that.
No, you nearly won the league, but Gerrard fucked it up. But no, it wasn't that year. 2004, 2005.
Yes.
Thank God for that.
Richard?
84 to 85 when Everton won it.
In the Premier League. So.
Oh, I can't let everyone wear the title. They've done it recently, haven't they?
2013.
12-13, yeah. Jake? Oh, dear. Which ones have we had?
4-5 and 12-13.
2011-12?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. That was a shot in the dark.
I'm sorry, Richard, Shane and Anthony. So.
Can I just say an interesting fact, sorry, about 2004-05 season? Everton finished fourth. I had a negative goal difference.
Was Martinez in charge back then?
David Moyes, wasn't
David
it?
David Moyes was.
Damn.
Yeah, sorry, just an interesting fact, I know.
So, Richard, you've got 91-92 or European Championships?
91-92, being as I'm old.
Okay, so name the clubs that were relegated in the 91-92 season and missed out on the first Premier League.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a horrible one.
Shit.
Who went down that year?
Say the lead, Richard. If you know.
I can't be taking the lead.
No. To draw the level of Nick.
I seem to recall West Ham were one of them.
West Ham, yeah. Okay, Jay.
Actually, no, I know this because I've recently started a Football Manager crew of them. Notts County.
Notts County, yeah.
Boom, bang that one out.
And Anthony?
I don't know.
I think I know who this last one is, and I can say now, I don't think you're going to get it.
No. I think I know.
Coventry.
No.
Can we say?
No, they were in the Premier League for a while.
Yeah, it's Luton, isn't it?
It was Luton, yeah.
Damn, that's a while ago.
All right, so there's last question. And then we've got Nick's got four. Richard's got four. Shane's got four.
We're too good.
This wasn't that meant to happen this week. So,
who's got four?
Shane, you've got Nigerians. Or you have. What question have you got left?
I love Nigerians. Let's go
Nigerians. Or European Championships?
Nah, Nigerians. Big up Nigeria.
Okay, so we're going to go Shane, Anthony, Nick.
Is it just us three in the final?
Well, it's between Shane and Nick to win it, because I can't beat you.
No. So, Shane, it's name Nigerians who have won Premier League Player of the Month award.
Are you kidding me? Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't even think of Nigerian footballers. Why did I say Nigerians? I can tell you what the capital of Nigeria is. It's Abuja.
That's not what I'm asking.
That's all I've got. Peter Odemwingie.
Yes, he won it. September 10th, April 11th, and February 12th. Yeah.
All I can think
is it recent or just like in Premier League history?
Premier League history. Yeah.
I was just thinking back then of what I've seen on the transfer deadline day, and like he's Nigerian, isn't he?
Anthony.
All right, I've got one. JJ Okocha.
Yeah, he won it in November 2003.
Yes.
So
I remember him like the first player I liked.
I don't even know if this player's Nigerian, but I'm going to say him anyway. Obi Femi Martins.
He is a Nigerian, but he hasn't won it.
Oh, that would have been my one if it wasn't Odemwingie, damn.
It's, it's the Watford striker called
Igalo.
Oh,
yeah, he's quite recent. Shit.
He won it.
I don't think he was Nigerian.
All right, so congratulations, Shane. You're this week's sort of pitch.
Yay! It's my massive knowledge of Nigeria coming in hot.
All right, so the other question was name nations who qualified for the European Championships 10 or more times. But we'll save that for another week.
Blessed you, land of the Super Eagles.
All right, so despite reports claiming United are happy with Louis van Gaal, Mourinho is telling close friends that he's been appointed.
I've told some close friends that I've had sex with Scarlett Johansson, but it doesn't mean it's true. I haven't told them that. They wouldn't believe me. I've dreamt about it, though. That's something.
So what do we think?
You dreamt you told people? Or...
No. I dreamt the other thing. It was filthy. She was everything I imagined she would be, precisely because I imagined it. No, Mourinho, though, I can believe that, because I don't see Van Gaal staying on at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And realistically, who else are Man United going to get who is United caliber? I know people are going to say Giggs, but I feel like that's a fan dream. And when you're looking at a club the size of Man United, the people at the top are going to be like, no risk. It's got to be a no-risk appointment. We cannot risk not getting top four every single year, because Jesus Christ, the Chinese fans will very quickly start supporting City. So yeah. I would say I can very much believe that it is a done deal. I mean, look at Guardiola. Normally, a Premier League club would have kept it under wraps until the end of the season, but City just went out and said, yeah, we're going to have Guardiola at the end of the season. I think United are going the other way. Mourinho's lined up. And they're just going to, you know, pretend it hasn't happened. Van Gaal probably knows. I doubt they'd keep it from him. But, yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't think Van Gaal would be how he is in interviews if he knew this was going to happen. And yeah. Then I don't think
he's
if
it
happened.
Angry.
I don't think the club would have told... I think the club would have told him if it's going to happen. So for those two reasons, logically, I don't think Mourinho's been appointed or been spoken to seriously by the club.
Based it on Van Gaal and his interviews, I haven't got a clue, because he's just mental.
He's so good in the press conference. I absolutely love watching them.
The only reason he's good is because he's a colossal dick to the journalists. And it's about time they got some of their shit back at them, isn't it? Because they are knobs. They are all knobs.
He's incredible. He's the best manager in the league for that alone.
I swear press conference journalists just go to the Jeff Shreve school of how to be a colossal penis. Just how to be the most horrible, vile, ridiculous and stupid man there is possible. Christ, what a dick.
I still love that Jeff Shreve's moment with
Ivanovic. That was horrible. That was genuinely just malicious. He knew what he was doing.
I was like, when he told him that he wasn't going to play in the final.
Yeah, he was just fucking cruel.
And he didn't know it all, did he?
No, he didn't have a clue.
Like, that dawning in his eyes.
That was awful.
Right, so it's reported that the United squad is split on Jose taking over because they think Giggs won't be kept on as assistant.
Well, I was in the car home. In the car home, I heard someone on the radio who said, if Mourinho comes to United, what are the odds of John Terry coming to United next season if he leaves Chelsea?
Oh, dear God, no.
He's playing for another Premier League.
He is a United fan as a child.
Is he?
That's the thing which scares me.
Harry Kane's an Arsenal fan as a child. I mean, it doesn't really mean anything these days.
Yeah, but Terry and Mourinho are close, and Terry's obviously going to leave Chelsea. It's going to be like Lampard all over again.
Lock the wires away if you have Giggs and Terry at the same time.
Oh, everyone will be on the constant lookout, won't they?
What does Wayne Bridge do these days?
He's got a fit Saturday. I can't remember the name. But she's...
Yeah, he's got Frankie on.
Yeah, he did pretty well.
I was thinking more like, is he a coach? Is he a...
Man, we drifted off topic quickly.
Sorry.
I want to say he plays in the Championship for someone.
I thought he'd retired.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's retired and he's a coach now.
Who's this?
Wayne Bridge. Anyway.
I spoke to, he was fucking class for us on loan, but I spoke to him at a Wilders Festival when he was off his...
Well...
Allegedly.
Yeah, please don't sue Wayne.
Hey, I was pissed out of my head as well, but me and the play fine.
Okay.
Anyway, back to Mourinho. I don't want to meet United.
He still owes me a pint thinking back on it.
I
am very happy with Van Gaal and
I think they can announce it. Let's try and get hold of it.
We know your opinion. I have to say, I don't buy this whole thing that the United camp is split about Mourinho, because I genuinely don't think either most of them have no idea or don't particularly care.
Because, well, I imagine Matter's not looking forward to it.
Apart from maybe Matter, but come on, football players are so incredibly insulated these days that they generally don't know what's going on too much of the time. It sounds harsh. It sounds like I'm just calling them idiots now, and I'm not. They're so insulated by agents and all these things. Everyone's controlling the flow of information towards them. They probably know about as much as us as we do, just reading from stuff in the press. So they probably are dismissing it. or genuinely haven't ever found out about it or don't care at all. I think those are reports where someone's gone in the press, Mourinho to United. Well, this would be an interesting story. What would happen if he went to United with the likes of Giggs and Mata, and then they've invented that story because it makes kind of sense? That doesn't really seem like the realistic one.
One of the papers of the weekend was saying that we held talks as well as Pochettino.
Yeah. What's up, Nick?
Pochettino, I think, one thing I have seen is a lot of Spurs fans are going, why would he go to Man United? He's with a club on the up, all that shit. Why did he leave Southampton? He went from a club who was in like 6th, 7th place to a club that was in like 6th, 7th place with the same amount of mostly decent young players and fairly decent foreign players. I think he'll go to Man United if Man United come calling. He's ambitious. He'll want that job. That being said, and it's not just because I'm a bitter Southampton fan. I'm not. I'm actually thrilled that we got Ronald Koeman on the back of it. But I think Pochettino is very overrated. He's very good at working with a limited squad. But people say he's really good at bringing through youth players. He isn't. He works with the players he's got. He isn't someone who's going to go out and spend tons of money if he doesn't need to. That is admirable, but it's because at Tottenham he didn't really have the funds in the last sort of two seasons because they're still, reeling from the Bale money. Southampton, he didn't really have the money because we were going through massive change. Club like Man United, suddenly where he has to go out and buy every season, because that is expected, I'm not sure how well he'd do. I think he does well. He makes a bad squad look very good. He's made a very average youth academy at Spurs look very good just by playing them. And I've said it time and time again, give them the time and they will play well because they're professional footballers. How bad are they going to be? But Pochettino to United, for me, that's a bit like when Sadio Mane was linked to Man United. It's sort of like, it kind of makes sense when you think about it. You go a little bit deeper and you go, not sure that actually fits too well. That isn't the best quality, actually. I mean, if people are genuinely excited about Pochettino and not about Mourinho, where the fuck is your head? Seriously. Mourinho is a proven title winner. Pochettino hasn't won a single thing in his life. What are you on?
I think the difference to me between the two and why I'm not a fan of Mourinho is just his short... I says the same really about Pochettino and his short-termism.
Pochettino hasn't stayed at a club for more than 2 years.
It's the style of play. Mourinho is not a Man United style of play manager.
Yeah, but if it's that big of a deal, and if the board turn around and say, clearly the fans are demanding it, we've had it for 1 or 2 years now where it's not been the way they wanted it, and it's clear, that is one of the big things, they will say to whoever's coming in, you've got to kind of play the United way, you've got to at least make an effort to go and do it. If it's that big of a deal, they will. And if it's not that big of a deal to them, then they won't, and it won't make a difference. They'll appoint someone whether or not they're a positive or negative coach.
Yeah, but Abramovich said this. Abramovich said it to Mourinho.
And Chelsea have... I know people have hammered down the parking the bus thing, but in the last, 3 years, Chelsea have played some really good football. It was only at the tail end of their title-winning season when it was just locking the thing down. It wasn't that entertaining. And obviously this season, their collapse, which nobody anticipated whatsoever. Most people said they were going to be competing for the title again. So I think it's overplayed, the whole Mourinho plays bad football. In his career, he's played better football more than he's played bad football.
Can I just go back to something we mentioned on the 72 show, actually? Because Paul Clement was sacked from Derby because of not playing the Derby style of play. I don't like this idea. Well, I just want to say about playing the club style of play, Sam Allardyce with the West Ham style of play. What is this particular club style of play? It's just playing vaguely attacking football. There's no real... substance to it for me. It's just a bit of a wishy-washy thing. I think it's just play attacking, nice football. It's not like, different clubs have this particular specific style. And Mourinho can play attacking football when he wants to, but that's irrelevant to me. I want to see, a team win. Playing attacking football is a nice bonus, but it's not critical.
No, there are definitely certain teams that are known for a certain style of football.
I wouldn't say it's that. I would say it's more that there's certain fans who are more demanding and certain fans who are more accepting. Man United fans, for instance, are very demanding. They want to see a team that wins and a team that plays a certain kind of way. Let's take West Brom fans for a minute. They're a bit more accepting. They don't really care if they're playing like shit. They just want to win some games and not go down. Yeah. It goes that way, I think. It's more fans than
Can you explain to me what the... Can you explain to me what the Man United style of play is other than...
Well, traditionally, playing it was always with a pair of two fast goals. Wingers.
Yeah, I'd say it's two fast wingers, a lot of wing play, attacking play mainly, a lot of play in the midfield, generally.
Yeah, but my issue is no team says, our style of play is to be defensive and, you know, cagey. No team will say that. You know, every team style of play is to attack.
Well, the Arsenal under George Graham was very much that.
Well, and
Arsenal fans were proud of that at the time.
You can look at it one of two ways. Either clubs have to appoint a manager who already plays the kind of football they want their team to play, which is going to limit your options straight away, or you can tell any manager that comes in, you're going to have to play this way. Now, the danger of doing the latter thing is obviously sometimes it's just not going to work out and a manager will revert to type eventually when it goes bad. So if he's a naturally defensive manager, if he's coming into a tough patch, he will play defensive football. And the problem, obviously, of you hire managers only of a certain type is you're probably going to have bad quality after a certain point, because after a while you've run through all the good attacking managers and they haven't worked. Yeah. And you get to a point where you're hiring people like Pochettino at Man United, which, I'm sorry, doesn't fit at all. A man who's never won anything at one of the biggest clubs in the world. Are you kidding me? That's absurd. Utterly, utterly absurd. If they're going to do that, put Ryan Giggs in. Because at least it's a club legend who's never won anything as a manager. As a manager. I have to clarify that. You know, I do think there is a genuine thing about wanting to play a certain type of football, but it isn't necessarily the club so much as it is the fans. Mm. And fans want what they want. At Southampton, we like the possession kind of football. It's what we've done since we went down. It was the reinvented club's, you know, new mantra. We've been doing this through the division, so the fans want to see attacking football. We want to see them keeping the ball and passing it around nicely. But certain fans, because they've never had a specific brand develop at their club, they're more accepting of whatever the new manager brings in. West Brom's a great example of that. They'll accept whatever comes in, because so long as it gets the results, then that's fine. And if it eventually develops into a philosophy, brilliant, because that will happen. It's not a completely nebulous thing, but I do get what you're saying.
Right, so we're coming up to the hour. So, Anthony, Nick, do you want to just quickly mention your new Football League show?
Yeah, well, we did the first episode of the 72 show, which was released on Wednesday night.
Second.
Well, the first one was a pilot, officially. The first one, I've described it as episode one. It's a new show, so we talk about the main news we spoke about was Paul Clement at Derby. We discussed that in depth. We discussed generally what's going on in the Football League. We've got a son of a pitch, which is a really good listen. Discussed Wigan in depth. I even did a bit of a scout report. I went to watch Wigan against Sheffield United. Mm. And find out why Scott Shearer we named as Player of the Week as well.
Yes, I also interviewed.
I think that's everything about the show. It's a great list.
I also interviewed experience.
You can also hear more of me on that show as well. You can hear more of me than ever before. So here I will be first to listen.
Yeah, I'll be subscribing to that on my podcast list.
And you get to listen to much less of me.
Hooray!
Yes, I also interviewed experience academy coach Sol Agustin-Hirst. He was a very interesting guy. He's worked with Spurs and Chelsea. We discussed the development of youth team players and academy, coaching academy players up to Premier League standards. So it was a really interesting guy. So, is there anything else you want to discuss quickly?
Adam Just Johnson.
No, I'm not discussing Adam Johnson.
Adam Johnson. Obviously, there's not a lot to laugh about here, but
I don't want to discuss Adam Johnson.
He's been sacked by some.
Bad luck.
No, fuck off,
yeah, Paye and
God.
Sorry, I'll
try the nonsense.
I'll try it this time. I'm happier
though.
This is exactly why I brought it up.
Nonsense. This is why I didn't want to talk.
Going down for nonsense.
Right, so follow us on Twitter at BT Football, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'll see you again next week.